probably know by now, David Castillas, I think I said that right. He's a truck driver from El Paso. We see him every once in a while. He is also relatively new in his commitment to Christ, and he's proud of it. Let's always encourage him. I've left one for last. You may have noticed that we have someone I mentioned last week with us, and that is Richard Reinhardt. Did I say that right? Yeah. And Richard is, well, he was a full-time preacher for 7 years. He is a song leader. He's all things to all men, right? So we're happy to have him visiting today, and we hope he'll make this church a permanent part of his life. Also, his girlfriend is with us. Her name is Courtney Dow. She lives in, Killeen. So let's keep them all in our mind. If you haven't met them, they're up front. David's back here, and the others are by Mary. So we do have another visitor, but he's a regular. So we're glad to have you all. It looks like we possibly could have a record today. I don't know, but let's encourage everyone. Would you bow with me? Father, we thank you for this opportunity. Help us always to honor you and glorify you in all that we do. Help us to remember your teachings and to live them out in our daily life, that the name of Jesus, your Son and our Savior, would be glorified. Bless us as we strive toward that in our worship today and in all that we do. This we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. There was a lady who wrote a book a number of years ago. Her name was Velma Sewell Daniels. Anybody know that name? Anyway, this book was about, well, it's entitled Celebrate Joy, but she was writing in this part of the book about a discussion she had with an Eskimo. And she asked him how old he was, and he says, "I don't know and I don't care." Well, she didn't quit there. She wanted to know how old he was, so she asked him again. He says, "Well, I'm almost." She said, "Almost what?" He said, "I'm almost one day old." She didn't ask him any more questions, but she did ask a man who had been in Alaska for 20 years if he knew what she meant or what he meant. And he said, "Yes, because I've been around some of them a long time." He said the Eskimos believe that when they go to sleep at night, they die. And when they wake up in the morning, they've been resurrected to a new life. So the oldest any of them ever get is one day. So don't ask an Eskimo how old they are. But now, I have a point from that. With the Eskimos, survival, well, it's a daily thing in such a frigid climate, isn't it? And you don't see Eskimos worrying. Why is that? Because they look at life as if they only have one day. Isn't that what we ought to do? Live one day at a time? Isn't that what Jesus said? Each day has enough trouble of its own. But we'll look at that in a little bit. But when we think about worry, there are all kinds of things that can be caused by worry, right? High blood pressure can be caused by that. Numerous things like ulcers, heart problems, all of those can be affected by such an attitude. You know, some of us, like in my case, I grew up with a mother who was a worrier, at least at that point in her life. And it becomes a habit before we even think, right? Before we even reach our own decisions. But what we're going to look at today is we need to make decisions about it. We have to change the way we look at some of those things. It is such an automatic part of our life. I want to read a passage or two in the Old Testament before we read Matthew. In Psalm 37, verse 8, David said, "Do not fret. It only causes harm." Isn't that worry is fretting? Fretting about what will be, what will people think, what will I do, on and on it goes. Proverbs 12 and verse 25. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. One translation of that is, Worry makes the heart heavy. Worry makes the heart heavy. So let's keep these things in mind. Now we want to turn to Matthew 6. Jesus had a kind of a long passage about this. In verses 25 to 34, we want to read that and then look at some of the lessons learned there. Therefore I say to you, and I'm reading for those of you who are new from the New King James. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about the body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you of not more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? Some translations of that is 1 hour to his life. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry. That's the third time he said it. About tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient unto the day, or for the day, is its own trouble. So according to Jesus, as we look at this, there are four steps necessary to not worrying. And we want to look at those today. And each of them will help us to eliminate worry. You know, a lot of times I preach these kind of sermons on Sunday night, but you're getting a dose of it on Sunday morning. The little bit deeper things of the Word of God. But first of all, you must decide not to worry. I know that sounds oversimplified. That may make some of you just kind of discounted as I say it. But I encourage you to remember that Jesus said no less than three times here, do not worry. The presence of these commands is a clear indicator that Jesus considered this an important subject, isn't it? We can assume that if he issues the command, we're capable of doing it, right? Anybody agree with that? No amens? All right. Jesus wants us to take it seriously. Our tendencies toward worry are really controlled by the conscious choices we make. There is hope in that, because if worry results from our own decisions, then we can change our decisions. You may say, well, I learned it before I was old enough to know. Yeah, but you still can make a decision about it, can't you? You can change those habits. And under that, most of our worry is over things that are really trivial. According to the National Bureau of Standards, and I took this a few years ago, and I don't know that it's been updated, but let's... In this case, it wouldn't need much updating. But if we were to cover this area, let's just go down through the highway for 7 blocks. We cover it in fog so you can't see your hand in front of your face. How much water is in that fog? Well, if you condensed it, it would fit in a little glass. A little bit of water, and yet in the form of fog, it appears to be such a great thing. And that's kind of how our worry is many times. We look at the fog, so to speak. We see all the problems. We don't realize it's not that big. We can overcome it. In verse 25 again, he says, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or what you will drink, or what you will put on your body, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? There's so much more to life than clothes. But we got clothes, right? We like what somebody else wears, and we want to find where they bought it, right? I even sent an email one time to the Channel 4 weather forecaster, Ed Henry. I liked his clothes. I wanted to know where he bought them. But, you know, sometimes those clothes are too expensive for us, right? We're concerned about clothes. We're all concerned about the things of this world too often. Often we ignore the things that are significant. Three men died, and this is just a parable, a story. I think you get my point. Three men died and appeared before the pearly gates. The first was a preacher of 50 years, and Peter asked him, you know, why should I let you in? He said, I've been preaching for 50 years, been serving you. He said, okay, stand aside. We'll consider that more in a moment. Next man stood forward, and he said, I'm a preacher too. I've been preaching 40 years. Peter said, stand aside. We're going to consider you in a little bit. The next man stood forward, and he said, I'm not a preacher. I was a worker in the Internal Revenue. He said, come on in. And the preacher said, why'd you let him in so quick? You know this is just a parable, right? We don't understand that. We understand about those things about the pearly gates. But anyway, the preacher asked him why, and he said, well, in 3 years of working for the Internal Revenue, he scared the devil out of more people than you did in your whole preacher career. And isn't that the point? We want to get the devil out. We want the devil out of our lives. The devil includes the things he wants us to do, like worry instead of trust God. It's hard sometimes to trust. I understand that. Worry is also a waste of time. In verse 27 again, which of you by worrying can add one? Well, let's change that to inches. Can add 18 inches to your height. Or is the other translation, you know, 1 hour to your lifespan. Which of you can do that? Well, we can't do it, can we? Just because we might want to be tall, we're not going to be tall if that's not our genetics, right? It's not going to happen. The point Jesus is making is that, you know, brow burrowing and getting so upset, hand wringing, all of these things are really a waste of time. Trusting God is what's important. And number three, worry is beneath our dignity. And you'll get what I mean in a minute. But let's look at verse 26 again. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? D.H. Lawrence once wrote, he said, I never saw a bird sorry for itself. A small bird will drop frozen dead and never having worried, or it will die after its life never having worried. But God takes care of them, doesn't he? We are God's creation. We are more value, he says, than birds. We are made in the image of God. We are more worth more than birds. We must learn not to worry, but to trust. You know, I mentioned one time how I was in that car in Ukraine where this guy had been hired to pick me up from the airport, and he was driving 200 kilometers per hour. And I was worried. So I said a little prayer. You know, Lord, take care of me. I'm just going to trust. And I just sat there. We come by those cars, you know, miss them by foot, all that kind of stuff, the way they drive over there. Well, at that time I did it right, but we often don't do it right, do we? We worry about so many things. And number four, worry is a faithless act. In verse 30 again, now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast or thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? By worrying, we're saying, in effect, God, you can't take care of this. Isn't that what we're saying? We're not trusting him to take care of it. Do not worry, he says. Worry is trivial. It's time-wasting. It is faithless, a faithless habit. That's what it is, a habit that's not trusting God to take care of it. And a major heading again, number two, we must trust God to take care of us. Look at verse 31 and 2. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. Lanelle Harris sang a song a few years ago, and here are the words, entitled, In It After All. You were there, you were in it after all. All those moments I spent crying when something inside of me was dying. I didn't know you heard me each time I cried or called. You had reasons for those trials. It seems I grew stronger every mile. Now I know you were in it after all. We're always ready, Lord, to take the glory, but we're seldom willing to endure the pain. You were with me when the sun was shining, and you were still there beside me when it rained. So you were in it after all, taking the blows that I'd been given, mending the wounds that I'd been mending, or that needed mending. I didn't know that you heard me each time I called. I guess it's easy now to see it. I don't know how I could have missed it, Jesus, but you were in it after all. God is always there, isn't he? We can trust that. A businessman ran into a friend who was a stockbroker, and this stockbroker had been a big worrier, had ulcers, high blood pressure, he had it all. And this other man, he was well off too, he had a good job and all of that. And he said, how you been doing? He said, I'm great. The ulcers are gone, high blood pressure, and I'm just doing great. He said, well, what did you do? He said, I hired a man to worry for me. And he said, well, you know, I might be interested in that. How much did it cost you? And he said, $100,000 a year. He said, well, how in the world can you afford $100,000 a year? He said, I don't know. You ask him. We worry about a lot of things, don't we? We allow these things to affect us in so many ways. In 1 Peter 5:7, it says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Paul in Philippians 4:6-7 said, be anxious for nothing or worry about nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Depending on God to take care of us means that we have to eliminate those fearful, faithless phrases that we use in our conversation. I don't know how I'm going to get by. I just don't think I can make it. We have many phrases like that, don't we? We're not trusting. We're so worried. Number three, we must give Jesus first place in our life. Verse 33, back to Matthew and 34. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient unto the day is its trouble. There was a young boy who was a farm kid, and he was driving a tractor with a trailer or something loaded in hay. And it turned over. I don't know what he did, but he turned it over. And the farmer heard it, and he came out and tried to calm the little boy down, the young man. And he said, "It's dinner time. It's lunchtime. Come on in, eat something, and you'll feel better, and then I'll help you get it back home." He said, "My daddy is going to be very angry at me." He said, "Come on, eat something, then you'll feel better." So he convinced him. He went in. He said, "But my daddy's going to be very angry at me." He said, "Come on in." And he fed him. He said, "Now don't you feel better?" And they were walking back out to the tractor. He said, "Yes, but my daddy's going to be very angry at me." "Oh, by the way, where is your daddy?" "He's under that hay." Sometimes we need to deal with, right? We need to deal with them straight up. Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's the way Jesus put it. Giving Jesus first place in our life means that, first of all, we have to accept him. And we may have some in our audience who haven't accepted him. But we have to do that, don't we? In faith, or in penance, confession, and being baptized. And then we have to live a faithful life. You never have a peaceful mind free of worry until you come to Jesus. You can't have that. Even if you've been a Christian for many years, if you're still worrying, you can't have that peace of mind. And so often we fail in these ways. Eliminating worry means deciding not to worry. That's what we started with. And number four, you must learn to live and work through the problems one day at a time. Notice verse 4 again, 34 again. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. It's got enough trouble. Worry about it tomorrow. Brother Faulkner wrote a number of years ago. He lived in West Texas, and he says, "We have a lot of pickup trucks in West Texas, and you know, they've got extra heavy springs put under them, and they'll carry big loads. But if you took all those loads that that pickup would ever carry and put them on them at one time, that truck would smash, crush under the power of that weight. But you can't handle it one load at a time." And that's kind of what Jesus is saying, one day at a time. You deal with this one day at a time. Conquering worry doesn't mean that we're to live irresponsible, foolish lives. Planning the future is something God expects of us. We must avoid the anxiety, though. That kind of approach to life that destroys our peace and joy. It means we're to focus our attention on the present, on the things we can do today. Tomorrow's problems, well, there'll be enough to take care of tomorrow. Cut that out now. Matthew 6, there are several things we learn here in this. We close. Action eliminates worry, doesn't it? Do we want to eliminate worry? Then take action. Decide not to worry. Trust God to take care of us. Jesus' top priority in our life is for us to live each day trusting him and the Father. This kind of action eliminates worry. Now, I'll use one more illustration as we close. There was a widow who raised six children, and she was being questioned about it, but she also adopted 12 others, raised them all well. And somebody interviewing her, and they said, "How'd you do this?" And she said, "Well, I manage so well because I'm in a partnership." He said, "What do you mean?" She said, I said to the Lord, Lord, I'll do the work and you do the worrying. And that's how I did it. Isn't that what we have to do? We have to decide to let the Lord do the worrying. He won't worry. He'll just take care of it, right? Maybe today we have someone who's not a Christian. We've already pointed out we had to not only believe, we had to repent, confess, be baptized. Then we had to live a faithful life. Or maybe there's some other reason someone needs to respond to the gospel today. If you need to come, won't you come now as we stand and sing?